gates swing open wide. Oh, I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me from the other side. When I reach Kansas City, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me from the other side.
That is digging at me to start preaching on Sunday morning about the rapture for a while and just preach every sermon that I've ever preached, at least a good number of them, about the rapture. But the desire of my heart is to preach one next Sunday that I've never preached. I've been studying it. I want to preach about why little babies and children of unsaved parents will be left here for the tribulation period. The children and young people, anybody under the age of accountability, the children and young people that will be left here during the great tribulation because their parents are not right with God. Now that's a Bible truth that's been neglected, has been denied. There are people that will almost fight you over this truth. But I'm obligated to preach straight from the Bible and not preach to people what they want to hear that makes them comfortable. You won't believe the many parents out there who, when you talk about the rapture, they will say, well, at least my children will be gone if I don't go. And that's so untrue. And it's so unfair for them to have that kind of consolation when it's false. That I'm overwhelmed by it. And if you've got children and they have your grandchildren and your children are not ready for the rapture, then your grandchildren are going to be left here with that mama and daddy unsaved for the most horrible period of human history. I plan, the Lord willing, to do the program next Saturday on that subject. And you may need to come here and stand at the door for me, because I'm here to tell you, the church world has been so rocked to sleep with all kinds of cheap doctrines and all kinds of cheap attitudes and ideas that the majority of them are not ready to meet God, and they don't know it. And they can't be moved, because you see, strongholds in your mind will lock out the movement of the Holy Ghost. And we've got a world full of strongholds that the devil has built in their minds. And they are so locked by them strongholds that they can't hear the truth. Well, let me read to you so you can be seated. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now you may be seated. Please keep your Bible open. Please direct your hand, if you would, and point to Brother Chambers and ask God to help me this morning to preach by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Father, don't let me trust in the wisdom of a man, be me or some other man. Let me trust only in the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Let me trust only in the anointing of the Spirit, that the right things will be said that will cause somebody to jump up out of their seat and run to this altar to be converted. And may I say now before I preach, amen to the sermon, the prayer, but may I say before I preach that if any moment during this sermon you realize you are lost, and you don't want to be lost any longer, and you want to get ready for that rapture, you just jump up and head to this altar. It's okay with me if you run. I promise you, there's no sermon I've got to preach that I can't stop and continue the next service or continue later to pray somebody ready for this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so near the coming of the Lord, it could easily be before we eat lunch today. It could easily be before we come back here tonight at 6 o'clock. It could easily be many different reasons. And if you think you could casually and cheaply and carelessly live and go in the rapture, I beg of you to listen over these next weeks as I try to preach everything about the rapture that's in this Bible and make it as real as heaven can make it real. I'm burdened. I'm extremely burdened that we might know what is coming our way. I did the program yesterday on the devil being turned loose on this world for 7 years. When Jesus comes, the devil will rule this world for 7 years. You can't even pray in Jesus' name during those years and stop the devil, because the restrainer will be gone. The restrainer will be before the throne of God in heaven, and there will be no restrainer. And the devil will be unlimited. He will have full right of way, and he will come with such a vengeance. The Bible says he will come down to the earth knowing he hath but a short time with great anger. He'll come with such ferocity and darkness and ugliness. It's going to be overwhelming. And I just don't want nobody to be here. I don't have an enemy that is so bad and so ridiculously my enemy that I don't want him or her to get right with God and go to heaven. I don't have nobody in my mental capacity to know and to remember their names or their faces that I want to be lost. Nobody. Nobody. If God would let me ever not pray for somebody because of how ugly and mean and terrible they are, so that they'd be lost, I would repent of it as soon as I realized it. I just don't want to have that kind of feeling toward nobody. The Lord is coming. I said, the Lord is coming. I said, that trumpet's going to sound. There's going to be a shout in the heavens. And the King of Kings is coming down to get us. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Now, let me talk about the great things about the rapture. The great truths about the rapture. When I say the rapture, I mean the pre-tribulational rapture. The rapture that will take place before the 7 years of the great tribulation begins. The rapture that will occur before the devil is cast down to this earth and given rulership and reign over this whole earth with his evil and his wickedness. I'm preaching about that event that will occur before that evil happens to this world. The great rapture of the church. The Bible calls it the blessed hope. Did you know that? The Bible calls it the blessed hope. What does the words blessed hope mean? I didn't mean to ask that question, but it's a good one to start with. What does the word blessed hope mean? It means it is a glorious and marvelous and marvel and wonderful truth about the coming of the Lord, of which we can trust in and know that it will happen in the right time before all hell breaks loose. It's a blessed hope. It's not a cheap hope. It's not a light hope. It's not a secondary hope. It's the basic hope of the church of Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. The blessed hope. And I love to think about it. But let's get to these questions that are just so beautiful. That to me, they're so exciting. Number one. Now listen. The Bible says that Jesus is coming down from heaven, from the Father's right hand, and coming down into the midair. What in the world? What in the world does he mean by saying such a thing as that? Well, when you begin to study the rapture and you begin to understand what the Bible says about the rapture, you quickly learn that this is one of the most breathtaking, the most wonderful, the most supernatural events that has ever happened in human history. Now, Jesus has been down one time before. He came born of the Virgin Mary. He lived 33 years approximately. He died, was crucified, laid in the tomb, risen 3 days later. And then he ascended and went back to heaven. And 500 people watched him disappear into the clouds as he went back to heaven. And the Bible says he went to heaven where the Father is, the great mountain of the north, and was seated at the Father's right hand to become the intercessor and the one who would be our prayer warrior and would pray for us and intercede for us and be our high priest. And so Jesus has been there since approximately 30 to 31 year AD. That's not quite 2,000 years ago, about 1,985 years ago, he ascended and went back to the Father's right hand. And he's been there alive, the crucified Redeemer. If you would see him, he would look just like the one that John saw in Revelation chapter 1, the glorious Redeemer, the glorious exalted one in all of his breathtaking beauty. But he's going to leave the Father's right hand. Listen to me now. He's going to leave the Father's right hand, and he's going to step out into the sky, into the stratosphere, and he's literally going to descend all the way from heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the throne of God is. He's going to descend into the midair, the Bible says. The Bible even says the clouds. Now, you know the clouds, you can get in an airplane and start flying, and it won't be but a few minutes until you'll be above the clouds. And all you'll have around you, or above you, I should say, is the blue yonder. I mean, the blue expanse that the scientists tell us how big it is. But you'll be above the clouds in just a matter of minutes. It's amazing. I enjoy going up in the plane through those clouds and just sailing across the top of those clouds, watching them down below, but always staying above them until time to descend and go back down through those clouds. Well, my Bible says that Jesus is going to come in the clouds. So he comes pretty close. Now, he don't come to the earth on this rapture. He comes into the midair. He comes into the clouds. Now, you got to understand some things. There is powers in those clouds that you and I don't know enough about and probably will never know enough about. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. So the devil has a kingdom up there in that midair. And there are literally billions of demons, fallen angels, that serve the devil. And the devil is a mighty force up there. And the Bible calls him principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible speaks of that great force of evil, that great power of evil. And when you begin to understand that Jesus comes down through all of that wicked power, all of that darkness, all of that hellishness, he comes right down through it because they can't touch him. I'm here to tell you, the name of Jesus is above every name. And so Jesus comes right down through all the powers of hell, all the powers of the devil. He comes right down through it into the midair above us, the clouds above our heads. And that's where he calls us to when we are resurrected from the dead. Now, to me, it's so exciting to think of the Son of God, the mighty Christ, stepping away from the throne of God the Father. The scientists would say many million light years away. I think all of that is a facade, but at least it's a long ways. And he comes down from the Father's throne and comes into the midair. Now, let me tell you something. That speaks of love and compassion and concern for the children of God who are going up in that rapture. I don't have to fight my way through those demons up there. He comes all the way past them. He comes all the way through them. He comes below them. Hallelujah. He comes into the clouds over my head and calls me then up to the clouds. Now, that's a marvelous truth. I don't think much of the world really understands great truths like this. I think most of us preachers kind of preach them and pass over them. And today I don't want to pass over none of these things. I want you to get a full view, a full understanding of what really happens when that rapture takes place. And I'm here to tell you the first thing that happens, the first thing that happens is that Jesus moves out from the Father's right hand and heads in this direction. Now, there'll be something happens as he comes, like the trumpet sound, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to understand, he comes down here to get us. He comes to receive us unto himself. You go to this very book where it speaks of us being caught away. Let me read you the words, if I can be careful, caught up. Caught up, that comes from one word in the Greek. And that one word in the Greek is harpazo. Harpazo. And it has some brilliant meanings. That word means someone who cares so much for you that he comes to catch you up. That means someone with so much compassion who comes to deliver you, and this is in the meaning, deliver you from the darkness to come. Deliver you from the night that's about to fall. Deliver you from the hell that's about to occur. The very words, caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from. Caught up. Somebody says the word rapture is not in the Bible. That's because the Bible wasn't originally written in English. It was originally written Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek. And so the Greek word caught up, for caught up is harpazo. And it absolutely means rapture. There's no way around it. There's no way to change it. There's no way to doubt it. So he's coming down to get us. He's coming down to get us. Do you hear me? That's what the rapture means. The Lord coming down to get us. Coming down to deliver us from the darkness that's about to fall upon this world. Oh, you hear me when I tell you the coming of the Lord, the descent of Christ into the midair is one of the most supernatural things that has ever occurred. When he came the first time, he came like a sacrifice. He died, was crucified, and when he ascended, it showed him his resurrection, that he was brand new, that he was a created being now, and he goes back to the Father's presence. But this time, he don't come to die on a cross. He don't come to be defeated and hated by his enemies in the world. He doesn't come to die as a sacrifice. He doesn't even come to be resurrected. All that's in the past. He comes with all the power of heaven to rapture everybody in the grave or alive to be caught up to meet him in the air. Woo, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, he's coming. I'm telling you, the Bible makes it plain. Did I not read it? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's exactly what the Bible is saying. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now he's got to start descending before the trumpet sounds. You may have thought the trumpet had to be first. No, that's not how the Bible listed. I believe in going right by the scripture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a trump. Hallelujah. I like that. Oh, he's coming. He's coming to get me. Hallelujah. He knows that I love him. He knows that I belong to him. I'm nobody. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by the mercies of God. I should have already been in hell. If he hadn't rescued me, I would have went to hell. And I began to think sometimes I was dwelling another night on my being saved, how the Lord saved me. And I thought, Father, what a wonderful God you are. Because you looked down there in Bushy Fork community and saw this little ragged boy plowing old Pete the mule and cussing and swearing with every breath, the nastiest language you could imagine, stealing everything I got a chance to pick up with my hands. And you saw this little kid down there and you said to the Holy Ghost, I want him. Can you imagine that? I want him. And so the Holy Ghost sent an old-fashioned preacher down there in the community. And he got up on a trailer under the oak trees at the farmhouse where I was being raised and began to preach the gospel. And something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Don't you just look at me. He did the same for you. He looked down and saw Joe Flores. He looked down and he saw every one of you and said, I want him. I want him. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to know something. There's somebody that's wanting you. There's somebody that's looking for you. There's somebody that's calling you. Right now, he's trying to get you, your attention. And so you'll wake up and say, hey, I'm going to live for Jesus the rest of my life. I don't want to stay here for that darkness. He's coming to get those that are ready, and I got to be one of them. Oh, hallelujah. I said he's coming, church. He's coming. Jesus is coming out from the Father's presence. Right down here. Can you imagine leaving the Father's presence again? Hallelujah. He left it one time, has been there with him ever since, but he's going to leave him one more time, and he's coming to get God's children. He's coming to get those who've been washed in the blood, those who've been saved by the grace of God, those who've been made new creatures in Christ. I don't know of anything that has to do with the rapture that's more exciting than Jesus coming down from the Father's presence to get in the midair right up above me so he can call me up there and then take me back with him. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you up unto myself. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said very plainly, he's coming again and he's coming to get us. I said, he's coming to get us. He isn't coming to make a show of his power. He isn't coming to make a show of his glory. He isn't coming to be praised and adored. He's coming for out. He will get praised and adored, believe me, because I'm going to be one of those that's going to be shouting across the heavens as loud as I can cry, as loud as I can scream, praise the Lord, my King is coming. Praise the Lord, my King is coming. Praise the Lord, I'm leaving. Praise the Lord, I'm leaving. Hallelujah. I'll probably be shouting all the way from here to glory. Hallelujah. Well, somebody praise him. So the first thing you can look for, and it's glorious to consider, is the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. He leaves the Father's presence and he comes, and it's really so simple, isn't it? He just leaves the Father's presence, comes down into the midair above us in the clouds, very close. Very close. The Bible don't say how close, but when he says clouds, I know he's not talking about 10,000 miles up there. He's only talking about a short distance, and he's coming to get us. And when he comes, he's going to get us, and we'll get to it in a minute. We're going to go up to meet him in the air. Now, when he comes, the first thing that happens as he comes down from above will be a shout, will be a shout. And the voice of the archangels. Now, and with the trumpet of God. I don't know the order of this. I don't know the angels got to shout first or the trumpet sounds first. But here it's got the angel shouting first and the trumpet coming second. I can tell you one thing. There will be a company of angels with him that will be so vast and so mighty. You can almost imagine it in your head. Where Jesus just descended up in the heavens. And you look up there where he's descended. And there is this multitude of angels. And shining white, brilliant color, brilliant beauty, majestic look. And why do the angels come with him? Because there's a lot of devils up there. That's why. And Jesus is not going to fight the devils. The angels are going to defeat the devil. Do you hear me? The angels are coming with him because they will build a great wall of defense around him. They will build a wall of defense all over the area where he is descending to. And as we are caught up, those angels will just spread out until we're protected on every side, above and below. The angels will protect us so those demons that fill the midair can't do anything but let us through. It's got to be one of the most wonderful things in the Bible is this great host of demons. The Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Talking about all those powers and all those demonic forces and all those wicked spirits and all those ugly angels with all of their grotesque forms and the quote grotesque descriptions. And he will, the angels coming with Christ will just push all of that back and defeat it. Hallelujah. He'll have angels all around him. And as we rise to meet him, the angels will be our defense and those devils will be helpless. They can do nothing about it as we rise to meet the Lord in the air, and the angels will be our protection and our defense. That's going to be a glorious moment. Are you listening to me? That's going to be, you talk about glory, you talk about supernatural power, you talk about majesty. I'm amazed. This world knows so little about this kind of truth. It's like, hey, don't tell me things like that. You scare me. Well, the only way I could scare you is if you're lost in sin and you're going to be left here. That ought to scare you. But if you're ready to go and he's coming and you're going to leave with those saints of God, it's absolutely breathtaking. It's beautiful beyond compare. And those angels are shouting. Hallelujah. What are they shouting? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of thy glory as they praise him and honor him. Hallelujah. You talk about praise. You talk about glory. It won't be long. I can almost imagine the sound of millions of angels all shouting, holy, holy, holy at the same time. I mean, millions of angels shouted. The heavens will ring with the beauty of it. A lot of people think the rapture is going to be secret and nobody on the earth will know about it. I don't think that's even possible. I don't think there's any way that Jesus could come down up there in the clouds with 10 million times 10 million angels all around him and all of them shouting. The Bible says they're shouting, right? The Bible says they're shouting, right? Oh, hallelujah. And here they are shouting and praising God. You talk about an old earth trembling. You talk about people in their religious nothingness. Just got religion, never been born again. You talk about these mean people that are everywhere in our society today. The same-sex marriage, the baby-killing crowd. You think about those who hate old-time religion, who hate the Bible, who hate what I'm preaching this morning. You imagine all of that, what a day of trembling it's going to be. And the Lord is going to come into the mid-air, and I believe the world is going to realize something momentous is happening. They're going to hear those angels, hallelujah, and all of a sudden the angels will probably quit. And the angel that has that trumpet begins to sound the old trump of God. This is called the last trump. You know why it's called the last trump? Not because of Revelation's trumps. Those are trumps of judgment. This is the trump that was celebrated in Israel as the Feast of Trumpets. You see, the seven feasts of Israel, the feast of Jehovah, five of them have been fulfilled, already fulfilled with the crucifixion, all that went with the time of Christ's victory and triumph, and all the way to Pentecost. But that fifth trumpet, that fifth seal is the trump of God. And they sound that trump for so many days. And the last day, which is the first day of the month, the seventh month, Tishri, the first day of Tishri. Oh, hallelujah. That last trump sounds. Well, that was a type in the Jewish economy of this moment we're preaching about this morning. Hallelujah. When the Lord shall send that angel to sound the trump. And I'm here to tell you, when he sounds that old trump, hallelujah, this earth will quiver and shake from one end to the other, because every dead saint of God who died in the faith, full of God's love and full of God's Holy Ghost, that old grave where they are laying, that old tomb where they're buried, that mausoleum where they've been laying, hallelujah, all of that stuff will begin to shake and tremble, and the earth will begin to open up, and the earth, the Bible says, will cast out the dead, the saints of God. That's when the trumpet sounds, brother. That's when that old trumpet sounds, because it wakes up the dead. Hallelujah. Can you imagine, oh saint of God, let's say Daniel, or maybe Jeremiah, or maybe John, or maybe it was Luke, or maybe Paul, who knows, and they're in the grave somewhere, and suddenly that trumpet sounds, and Paul opens his eyes down there in that grave. About the time he opens his eyes, the dirt around him, the place he's buried begins to shake and tremble, and the earth just throws him out. Hallelujah. As the trump of God sounds, hallelujah, to call the dead saints up to meet him in the air. Is anybody here? Does anybody believe what I'm preaching? Does anybody looking for him? Does anybody know he could come at any moment? Do you realize how close we are to this kind of event? I mean, we've been preaching this. I've been saved 63 years. Some of the first preaching I remember was the preaching about the coming of the Lord. Really, I remember. And it was so exciting. I knew God was calling me to be a preacher by the time I got good and saved. If God's called you to be a preacher, don't wait a long time to tell everybody. Just say it out. Hey, God's called me to preach. God's called me to preach. Hallelujah. I'll never forget sitting back in the church when the preacher's preaching, and I was thinking, God, you've called me to preach. I'm excited. What a day that's going to be. I'm ready, Lord. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And when you preach these great truths, like that old trump of God sounding and the dead waking up in the graves, some of them have been in the grave up to 5,000 years. Did you know that? Did you know there's people been in that grave who loved God and were right with God up to 5,000 years? Think about Noah. He's been dead about 5,100 years. Think about Abraham and his family. All the patriarchs been dead 3,000 to 4,000 years. Think about David, King David, and Solomon. Come on down through the list. All these saints of God buried in tombs all over Israel. There was some big news this week where a bunch of Palestinians were trying to destroy one of the ancient tombs of one of the great servants of God. I believe it was a son of Joseph, that they were trying to destroy the tomb, a very sacred place, and they had to fight them back. All the ISIS people hate everything that has any remembrance of the Bible or God in it, but it's not going to change a thing, because God has it all settled and written down in his great book of glory. Hallelujah. And he's coming. And those dead saints of God are going to come out of those graves. Hallelujah. What a moment. I'd like to be standing there. I'd like to be standing there when old Daniel comes up out of that grave. Daniel, that great servant of God. Daniel, tell me about sleeping in the lion's den. Or maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tell me about being in that fiery furnace when Jesus, the fourth man, showed up and walked you out of there. Oh, I want to tell you something. It's going to be a blessed day. I remember he first comes in those clouds. He comes in those clouds, comes down from the Father's throne. Then the angels come with him, and they're shouting and praising and magnifying God. Hallelujah. And then they quit shouting for the moment so that everybody can hear that old trump sound. And it blows, and it sounds, and it shatters everything. I'm telling you, I really believe this. I believe there'll be beer drinkers sitting in a bar, and they've drunk their little glass of beer, and their little glass will be sitting there on the counter in front of them, and that trumpet will sound, and that old glass will hear it and shatter and just fall. I mean, that old glass where the liquor has been received by that alcoholic will just shatter and fall. I believe it's somebody in church, and the old glass windows will start rattling, and maybe even some of them shatter and fall apart. I believe this old earth is going to feel that trumpet sounding and hear that trumpet sounding, and I believe it's going to create a consternation. It's going to create a feeling. Hallelujah. And then when they see those open graves, and then maybe, as it happened in the book of Matthew, saints of God will visit around for a few minutes between the moment of our rapture and our ascension up to be with the Lord, and we'll tell a few people, hey, you remember me? Yeah, I remember you. I didn't like you. Well, I want to tell you, I was just resurrected. Hallelujah. I just received a new body, and I wanted to warn you, I still love you. I'm praying for you. Don't take that mark. You'll never be able to repent. And then I'm gone. Do you understand how soon that could be? How many know we could leave here this day? We could leave here this morning. Hallelujah. Wouldn't even need a change. You can have these old 9 and a half shoes, because I'm going to be gone. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. So, Jesus comes down. We meet him in the air. I love that. You mean we meet him? Well, I already told you, but you're not right up there. It's not going to be far. I promise you, the world will be able to look up there and see us. You see those clouds, can't you? Well, then, there's going to be a cloud of saints up there for the world to see. A cloud of saints. Hallelujah. With all those angels and the Lord somewhere in the middle of all of that, shining like the brightness of the noonday sun, whose voice is the voice of many waters. Hallelujah. He is the grand and marvelous one. Oh, what a day. And we're just waiting on him. It isn't a matter of when. Well, it is a matter of when, but it's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. When will it happen? When God determines it to happen. When the right moment occurs. What a day that's going to be. I love the trump of God. I love the fact that here I stand, and I can try all I want to float, you know, to get up. You know, only way I can get up is to get up on something like this. But all of a sudden, all that gravitation won't hold me any longer. I begin to rise above this old earth. What in the world's happening to you, Brother Chambers? I tell you what's happening to me. I just got a brand new body. Hallelujah. And this old body is not flesh and blood any longer. It's flesh and spirit. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost up in heaven has sent forth powers. And I feel something lifting me. And here I go. Hallelujah. Right on up. I won't even make a hole in that sky if I happen to be here in the church. Because I will ascend right through it and meet the Lord in the air. Listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing more exciting than you thinking about rising up to meet the Lord in the air. Think. Come on, think real serious. What will it be like when all of a sudden you've got a brand new body? Oh, you'll look the same. You'll be you'll be you. The Bible says we shall know even as we are known. It's a new body, but it's the same appearance. The same appearance. You're the same person. You're going to be Marlon Clark, Brother Marlon. You're going to be Juanita Chambers, Sister Juanita. Hallelujah. I mean, we're going to, and suddenly we got this new body. And we began to rise up and just ascend through the sky. Hallelujah. There's the Lord up there, and you can tell he's calling us. You can tell he's up there waiting on us. He ain't going nowhere till the whole crowd of the living and the dead saints have risen to meet him in the air. And once the saints from all over this world, and once the great believers from all over the face of this earth, can you imagine the heavens loaded with saints of God? With shining bodies, brand new temples, all of them glorified, never to die again. And they rise up and you see them in the sky. There'll be at least a little moment when they'll all be visible up there together. And then the Lord turns and starts upward. And when he starts upward, all that crowd follow him right back to the place prepared for them in the heavens. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to get you to feel this morning? I want you to feel this rapture. I want you to feel the excitement of this moment. I want you to understand what it's going to be like when you have this new body and you go through that wonderful change. Hallelujah. You'll have white garments of righteousness. Won't need these suits that we're wearing, Brother Marlon. We'll have garments of righteousness called the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah. There won't be a sinner in the crowd. Won't be a wicked person in the crowd. Won't be an unbeliever in the crowd. Won't be a homosexual in the crowd. Won't be a baby killer in the crowd. Won't be a lying thief in the crowd. There won't be no wicked person that refuses God and refuses Christ in the crowd. Just saints of God. Oh, what a company. When I get with 100 saints, I think I'm almost in heaven. I'm going to the retreat week after next. Sister Chambers and I will be in Gatlinburg at our Bible Holiness Ministerial Retreat. We've got about 100 coming this year. We've got a place there that we've rented. It's a chapel where they have weddings for people all over the Gatlinburg area. And we'll be right there in that beautiful little place, about 100 of us. And I'm telling you, I know what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody we look at is someone that loves the Bible and loves the truths of Christ. Everybody among us is going to be godly people. You know, usually we would welcome a sinner because we believe in helping sinners find Christ, but we'll be godly people together. It'll feel wonderful. Well, can you imagine 10 million times 10 million all around the throne of God together, everybody meeting people, seeing those people you hadn't saw in 15, 60 years, seeing grandmamas and granddaddies. I remember Sister Chambers' old dad, Brother Huffines. I mean to remember him. He'd come visit us and he'd sit in church and cry. Just a humble old man. Precious, precious man. Never forget when he went to heaven. What a beautiful sight it was. I want to tell you something, folks. It's going to be great. You just don't know what you're waiting for. If you would see, most people are not living for the rapture today. And they're not going. Unto them that look, hey, quote this with me, everybody, come on. Unto them that look for him shall he appear without sin unto salvation. Raise the right hand up to him. Any moment. Now, I know I've got to quit. I want to be so long-winded. You don't come back, tonight and next Sunday. I want to preach about these kind of truths until they get to the bottom of our hearts, until we know. I want to tell you something. If you miss this event, I'm calling the rapture, and all that you've heard me preach this morning, what kind of people is going to be left here? What kind of people is going to be left here? It's going to be people who were not right with God. People who were religious but not born again. People that were lukewarm. They used to be on fire. And they gave up the fire because they loved the world so much. People that are lovers of the world instead of lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I mean, the Bible describes them over and over and over. And there's going to be a multitude of them. And I'm telling you, the anger and the pain is going to be so pitiful. You know what? I've always believed that there'll be a preacher killing the day after the rapture. Here, big old congregation of people. They've got this suave man up there in the pulpit. He doesn't say anything that might scare anybody or animate anybody or make anybody unhappy. He wants to keep that money flowing. He wants to keep that congregation growing. He wants to be a big name preacher. He wants everybody to know how big a congregation he has. And he'll brag on his thousands. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes. And that big crowd of people are left here. They'll go looking for him. They'll find that $1 million home that they bought for him and rip the doors off the hinges and go in there to get him. You lied to us. You told us we didn't need to worry about this. You told us those things would take care of themselves. You tried to make us think it'd probably be 1 million years before the rapture took place. There was a preacher over in the Lincolnton area that called a few weeks ago. And one of the ladies who was here that day saw the name of the church come on the screen of the phone and remembered it. And after the program was over, I didn't even look for that. I remembered, he said, "You're crazy, Reverend. You're just crazy. It'll probably be another 1 million years before Jesus comes. It'll be a long time. What you trying to do? Scare everybody to death?" I said, "No, I'm not. I'm just trying to get them ready. The King is coming." Hallelujah. Oh, hear me, church. The King is coming. Would you stand? Raise your hand and pray with me if you please. Father, hallelujah. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I said the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy, excitement, thrill of knowing we're right on the verge of the greatest event of human history. Never been anything to match this coming of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, the day of Noah's Ark is not greater than this day of the rapture. The day of Noah's Ark, everybody was dying except a handful. But the time of the Lord's coming, oh, there'll be a handful, but it'll be a big old handful. Hallelujah. It'll be thousands of us. Thousands. The Bible makes it plain. Innumerable company. Innumerable company. God's got people in places of this world you don't know nothing about. They love God. God's got people in places they don't have a good church to go to, but they live in their Bible and they walk close to Calvary. Hallelujah. And we're going to meet them. What a day that's going to be. Father, get us ready. Father, get us ready. Would you bow your head? Yvette, I would like for you to come and sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me." And I want to tell you, sinner, I want to tell you, this coming of the Lord's at the door. It is so imminent. It is so near. I don't know. I hardly know how to tell you. It is so near. It is so close. I mean, I feel it way down to my toes. It's close. Don't wait. If you're not saved, if you don't know you're right with God, if you don't know you're ready to go, if you got sin of omission, our sin of commission, the blood will wash you from it this morning. The blood will wash you from it. We're all going to come to the altar in a minute. But I want those of you who know you need to repent of sin and turn to Christ to step out while we sing. Step out and come and stand here. We're going to pray with you. We're going to help you wait before God until you know you're saved. Until you know. You'll know it when he saves you, friend. You'll know it when he saves you. When he saves you, you'll be a new man. You'll feel like a new man. Let's sing. And you come. I'm waiting on you. I'm praying for you.
Just as I am, without one plea.
But that
thy blood
was shed for me.
Was shed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that thou bidst me
come
to thee.
Why don't you step out and say, "I'm coming. This is my day to get ready for that trumpet sound. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So corporate, would you pray, church? Those of you who know how to pray, pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. You know who is the person you've called this morning. I felt it since before I preached, Lord. Somebody would get a call this morning. Somebody would get a call. Jesus has already told the Holy Ghost to go get them. Jesus has already told the Holy Spirit to come after you. That's why you feel it way down inside calling you. Step out and say, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. I want to be one of yours. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing it one more time. I do not want to beg. I want you to get ready when you are ready to get ready, because otherwise it will do no good. I'm coming, Lord. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood. How about everybody singing it now? Would you? Come on.
But that thy
biddest.
Was shed.
Thy blood was shed for me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for saving this old unworthy man. Oh, I'm not worthy. Come to thee. Oh, Lamb of God.
Of God, I come.
I want everybody to step out of your seats and come and stand. Everybody, if you're a visitor, come. If you're not even saved, you're welcome to come and stand here, giving God a chance to talk to you, giving God a chance to speak deeply to you. Come and stand. Lord, I got to make sure I'm ready when it's time to go. Now, I want you to lift your hands while Sister Yvette sings that softly. And I want us just to pray. Father, we love you. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Father, I'm weeping for sinners all over this community. Out, up and down every street around us. Up and down Tuckasegee. I'm looking for the breakthrough. I'm looking for the conviction. I'm looking for the move. Bless our young people as they begin to knock on doors, hopefully next Saturday. Bless all others. Father Joe says God's leading him to get out here and find Spanish-speaking people and witness to them. Help him to be ready next week if possible, next Saturday. Father, move. Move up and down these streets. We don't care what color their skin is. We don't care what level of their finances is. We don't care what kind of family they come from. If you can save them, and you can, we want them to be saved. We want them to be saved. Hallelujah. Lead us, somebody. Lead us, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray, saints, with all your heart? Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. Holy Spirit, bid us me come.
Come to thee, O Lamb.
O Lamb of God.
Of God, I come.
Brother Dillard, I want you to pray.
God, I thank you for the service this morning.
That is so good.
And I ask you to go with us.
We
Let
will.
Us pray and take you with us this afternoon. Let us take preach to us. God, I ask you to help everyone that's here, God, and help those that are dealing with
something,
God. And God, and help those that are lost, God, to come to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I want to ask you something. How many of you believe what I preached is absolutely right? Would you raise your hand? Put it way up high. You believe it's absolutely right. Did you hear me preach anything that you can't support with the Bible? Anybody? Did I preach anything you can't support with the Bible? Anything? I don't believe we did. It's just God's Word. I'm just trying to make it plain. I want us to see it. How simple. How very simple the coming of the Lord is. Now bow your heads a minute. Father, I'm not satisfied that the end is yet for this morning. Somebody needs to say, hey, I'm ready to repent. If you're ready, just step down your clothes. Put both hands up and ask him to forgive you. Forgive you of your sins. Commission, omission, whichever. I'm coming. Do you realize how close we are? You realize how close we are? The coming of the Lord is at the door. Hallelujah. How many of you, look up now with me, we'll pray for somebody this evening that's not ready. You'll pray for them. Will you do your best to bring somebody back with you tonight? I mean, really. It really is going to take an all-out Christian walk to go in that rapture. Sins of omission or sins of commission, it don't matter. They'll keep you out of the rapture. There won't be one sin that goes up in that crowd. There may be people that have sinned. In fact, there will be, because everybody in that crowd will have sinned. But they have been forgiven. And they have repented. And they've turned from their sins. And they've turned to Christ with all their heart. And now they're pleasing Him with their walk and their life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ready to go, Brother Joe? Hallelujah. I'm praying for God to fit you with the Holy Ghost. I don't want no waiting. Everybody in this building that don't have the baptism, hallelujah, it's time for us to get filled. Let's believe God to come down in this place tonight and baptize. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand. Let's wave. Let's give Him a wave offering. You know that's in the Bible. They would give the Lord a wave offering. Have you ever read that? If you haven't, you ought to read that. Hallelujah. They'd praise Him. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It wouldn't take much of that to get somebody happy. You know that? When you really get full of the Holy Ghost, it's easy to get happy, right? Hallelujah. You heard Brother Dylan. He preached three times. He testified three times longer than he's ever testified in his life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost made the difference. Is that right? You don't mind me saying that, do you? Because it's the truth. Hallelujah. When you get this full of the Holy Ghost, I hope some of you get so full of the Holy Ghost that we come to church and you get so full of the Holy Ghost I can't even preach that morning. It won't bother me an iota. I want God to have His word. Revival's coming. Look around at those doors. You see them three doors back there? Look around. Look at them. Those three doors. The double doors in the back. I want you to look at them. I want everybody to look at them. Please. They will soon be swinging open as sinners come to get right with God. Can you claim that with me? How many will claim that with me? In the name of Jesus, tell somebody you love them. Have a good lunch. Come back tonight. Make sure our visitors get up. I want to ask questions and then answer them for you about the rapture. We are so close to the coming of the Lord. I have this urge that is digging at me to start preaching on Sunday morning about the rapture for a while. And just preach every sermon that I've ever preached, at least a good number of them, about the rapture. But the desire of my heart is to preach one next Sunday that I've never preached. I've been studying it. I want to preach about why little babies and children of unsaved parents will be left here for the tribulation period. The children and young people, anybody under the age of accountability, the children and young people that will be left here during the great tribulation because their parents are not right with God. Now, that's a Bible truth that's been neglected, has been denied. There are people that will almost fight you over this truth. But I'm obligated to preach straight from the Bible and not preach to people what they want to hear that makes them comfortable. You won't believe the many parents out there who, when you talk about the rapture, they will say, well, at least my children will be gone if I don't go. And that's so untrue, and it's so unfair for them to have that kind of consolation when it's false, that I'm overwhelmed by it. And if you've got children, and they have your grandchildren, and your children are not ready for the rapture, then your grandchildren are going to be left here with that mama and dad unsaved for the most horrible period of human history. I plan, the Lord willing, to do the program next Saturday on that subject, and you may need to come here and stand at the door for me, because I'm here to tell you, the church world has been so rocked to sleep with all kinds of cheap doctrines and all kinds of cheap attitudes and ideas that the majority of them are not ready to meet God, and they don't know it. And they can't be moved, because you see, strongholds in your mind will lock out the moving of the Holy Ghost. And we've got a world full of strongholds that the devil has built in their minds. And they are so locked by them strongholds that they can't hear the truth. Well, let me read to you so you can be seated. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now you may be seated. Please keep your Bible open. Please direct your hand, if you would, and point to Brother Chambers and ask God to help me this morning to preach by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Father, don't let me trust in the wisdom of a man, be me or some other man. Let me trust only in the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Let me trust only in the anointing of the Spirit, that the right things will be said that will cause somebody to jump up out of their seat and run to this altar to be converted. And may I say now before I preach, amen to the sermon, the prayer, but may I say before I preach that if any moment during this sermon you realize you are lost, and you don't want to be lost any longer, and you want to get ready for that rapture, you just jump up and head to this altar. It's okay with me if you run. I promise you, there's no sermon I've got to preach that I can't stop and continue the next service, or continue later to pray somebody ready for this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so near the coming of the Lord, it could easily be before we eat lunch today. It could easily be before we come back here tonight at 6 o'clock. It could easily be many different reasons. And if you think you could casually and cheaply and carelessly live and go in the rapture, I beg of you to listen over these next weeks as I try to preach everything about the rapture that's in this Bible and make it as real as heaven can make it real. I'm burdened. I'm extremely burdened that we might know what is coming our way. I did the program yesterday on the devil being turned loose on this world for 7 years. When Jesus comes, the devil will rule this world for 7 years. You can't even pray in Jesus' name during those years and stop the devil, because the restrainer will be gone. The restrainer will be before the throne of God in heaven, and there will be no restrainer, and the devil will be unlimited. He will have full right of way, and he will come with such a vengeance, the Bible says. He will